Good afternoon to all of you, brothers and sisters and scholars alike. I bring the loving greetings from those in Houston Ecclesia that could not be here with us, although there are several here with us this weekend. It is obvious by our presence here that we have interest in pursuing the Scriptures, the truth as it is in Jesus. Our gathering to this location is for the purpose of strengthening our faith and being edified by hearing words of truth as set forth by the Creator. The talks and discussions this weekend are based on that perspective. As we continue our journey in the study of the Lord's Prayer, we see the words pray, prayer, prayed, praying, and so forth collectively used over a total of 500 times in Scripture. The primary meaning is intercession, supplication, or to entreat. And the word powerful appears in Scripture as well. Three times, two of which in relation to Yahweh. One of those in Psalms 29, where it says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." And once in Hebrews chapter 4, "For the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We'll take this opportunity to look at the power that prayer offers those who seek to be a part of God's manifestation. The Scriptures are there to shape and mold us into vessels that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. I know Brother Lenny had mentioned this earlier this morning. It still remains true. As Brother Thomas once wrote in Phanerosis, "Men were not ushered into being for the purpose of being saved or lost, because God manifestation, not human salvation, was the great purpose of the Eternal Spirit." We see also that prayer is our assigned means of communicating with the Creator through our Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We, as sinful creatures of the dust, are no better off than the beasts of the field unless we understand our position in relation to Yahweh. In Psalms 49, verse 20, it says, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish." And we read in the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 2, it says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." As I thought about this topic, it seemed quite simple. If you ask most people that claim to be Christians in the world, if you ask them, "Do you think prayer is important or powerful?" they would probably respond, "Yes," or "Of course." And if that's the case, what makes it that way? There have been many religions or beliefs throughout history that worship rocks, trees, sun, moon, wind, animals, even other sinful, dying humans. In Psalms 115 we read, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Ears have they, but they hear not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not, and feet have they, but they walk not. neither speak they through their throat. They make them like or unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Why should we have an interest in seeking the true divine power, the creator and sustainer of the heavens and earth? Aren't most of us just fine and well enough or powerful enough to handle what life can throw at us? There are many in the world that think that way. They don't need help from anyone or anything. Life is what it is. On a daily basis, they make it a success based on their skills and talents. For a speck of time, we may have the fastest car, biggest truck, the boat, house, or plane. We may have the highest IQ or position of authority. That may be considered power, but not to the Creator. A country may have the greatest military power, but it's still no match for Yahweh. Just watch a volcano, a tsunami, an earthquake, hurricane, a snow or ice storm. Weather systems cover the entire earth, and that's just the activity on this planet, in this solar system, in this galaxy. The true meaning of powerful on the scale of the Creator is beyond our imagination. If we ask for help from someone or some group, although it may be helpful, it is still very limited. Sure, we can get help to change a tire, do the dishes on occasion, build a house, farm, or plant a garden, and so on. But there is only so much that the human element can provide. After all, we do function and are energized by the Spirit of the Creator, not by our own power. For years, there has been a comical story that most of you probably heard of or heard a variation of it. And it goes like this. A group of scientists were at the point in their research of being able to design and to create man and animals with their knowledge of DNA and the mapping of the complex connection of cells. So they decided to approach God and tell him that he was no longer needed for this task. When one of them approached God with this message, the Creator asked for proof. So the scientists scooped up some dirt and began their process of building and connecting the cells when God interrupted them and said, "No, no, no, that won't work. You must get your own dirt." Prayer is powerful because it is directed toward the only true source to answer the prayer. In our quest to become a part of God manifestation, we are very likely to run into roadblocks along the way. These roadblocks will challenge or test our faith. They will also build our faith. The substance or assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. If we look back to the events in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, we see a terrible famine that was sweeping the land of Samaria. Just prior to this, Jezebel had cut off the prophets of the Lord. So in chapter 18, Ahab had commanded Obadiah to search through the land to look for the grass so that the animals would not perish. At this point, Obadiah met Elijah, and Elijah told Obadiah to bring all the people and the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. As we pick up in the 18th chapter. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it." And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is the God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they had prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer to any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. And he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. There are many times throughout Scripture where people have approached Yahweh asking for help, for guidance or protection, and giving thanks that their prayers were answered. Visions come to mind of Moses and the exodus from Egypt, the battles that David fought, the struggles of God's chosen people in overcoming the elements of the environment of famine, floods, or pestilence. And of course, how could we forget the prayer of our absent Lord and Savior in the book of Matthew or Mark or Luke as well? Just before his crucifixion, And they said, Lord, behold, here are 2 swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. We know the outcome of his request. Obviously, just because we pray to God does not mean that we will have our prayers answered the way that we want or the time that we want. We have to maintain focus on why we are praying and the purpose or outcome we hope to achieve when we communicate with Yahweh. It is probably not acceptable to think that our prayer will be answered when we ask to catch the biggest fish on our trip to the lake, river, or ocean. But I think it's acceptable to ask that we have a safe trip during our travel, and that we may be guided to think and to act Christ-like. We should always pray for things that promote the opportunity to be a part of God manifestation. Some prayers may be answered in a short period of time, especially if we are praying that our talk for a gathering will be completed by the due date. Some of you may have been there yourself. Others may be answered over a much longer period of time, as we are trying to work out our salvation during our probation. Either way, we should never give up. After all, we have the most to gain. Yahweh is already in control. As we call to mind the words in Isaiah 45, "For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I formed the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." The power of prayer is really noticed by those seeking help from God. Whether we pray for our enemies, forgiveness of our transgressions, for the peace of Jerusalem, for knowledge, or for correction of our fleshly ways, the effects or results of our prayer will likely not be noticed by the millions in the world who continue in their daily activities, oblivious to the events around them. I'm sure that most of us have an event or situation in our life that stands out, where a prayer was certainly a deciding factor or pivotal point to help us overcome a tough time. As some of you are aware and others have asked about the organ transplant that took place a few years ago between Brother Jeremy and myself, the goal was and always will be to have a successful, long-term functioning organ that will allow normal activities in life. As the process began with testing and matching, which many of you were on that list, it continued with surveys and meetings with various social workers, doctors, donor and recipient advocates, and ultimately the medical testing to confirm the possibility of completing the surgeries planned. At one point, I remember hearing a doctor say, "I wish I could tell you all the good reasons for a healthy person to get on the table for surgery, but there are none, except for the fact of the obvious. There is a goal to share something that you can do without." The thought of taking an unnecessary chance to improve a situation stuck in my mind. Although the first kidney transplant took place almost 60 years ago, and currently 6,000 to 7,000 living donor transplants are completed in this country every year, it was still a feeling that troubled me nearly up to the day of the surgery. I can tell you that prayer is powerful. Our faith is built and developed on the solid foundation of Scriptures. There really is no need to worry. God is in complete control. His will shall be done. We just have to do our part that is commanded us to do. I am very thankful, and I believe Brother Jeremy as well, that many prayers were answered at that time. Life is always a learning process. We just need to put our hands to the plow and not look back. Prepare the best we can and accept what comes. I think it's always a good opportunity to share our experiences with others that are perhaps struggling through life. It's a twofold benefit. It will probably help us build confidence and increase our faith. At the same time, perhaps help others to see that difficult situations can be dealt with and overcome, knowing that others have walked the same path before. At this time, I'd like to call on a few brothers to share their experiences where they feel prayer has been powerful in their life. First, I'd like to call on Brother Dan Jackson, and then Brother Peter Small, and then Brother Josh Garvey, if you'll just give them time. Thank you.
I wasn't supposed to be up here till tomorrow morning, so it's two for the price of one. Sorry. Prayer is being answered. I believe that prayer is very personal, as I'm sure all of you are. And I, when Mark asked me to do this, I thought, well, I'll give it a whirl, see how far it goes. Just to get up in front of you here, I think I had to say a little prayer at the back there before I come up here. So that was pretty tough. As you all know, that one of the things in our life, actually, in the Sanders in my life, is our son. So take a bit. Our son and daughter-in-law left the truth, and sorry about that. The prayers that we had weren't, as we come to know, weren't really necessarily for them, because the prayers were for them to return and find that the only way to really serve God is by returning to the truth and trusting in God to get them through the various things of life. But we found that the prayer is really for us, to give us the strength that's needed to overcome these feelings and to really put our trust in God and to know that He is absolutely in control of everything in our life. If we don't believe that, we have nothing.
My dear brothers and sisters, I thank Mark for this opportunity to share these few things with you. I'm sure, as Mark has expressed, and you all would agree by your own personal experiences, that prayer is most powerful when the need is greatest. We feel that to be so. And for that reason, I think on that criteria, there's no greater prayer in the Bible than what Jesus uttered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nothing matches the intensity and the need of that moment. Not just for himself, but for every brother and sister who's ever lived. It all hung on that moment. And on that occasion, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. take away this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but what thou wilt. The issue was whether he was going to truly be the Son of God by the obedience of faith, whether he was going to go through with it and truly be declared to be the Son of God by subjecting himself to what he knew was the Father's will. I went through many years of turmoil in my own life, private life, about 18 years of it actually. It was a long trial, and it caused me to go through a lot of shameful experiences. Things that would have destroyed me without a shadow of a doubt. I remember one occasion when I was on the precipice. There was a shameful thing in my life that, as a result of this personal turmoil that had gone on and on and on, never seemed to end. And I knew that my spiritual life was on the brink of destruction. And at that moment, I fell to my knees and I prayed. I identified with what the Lord Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. We all have to identify with the Garden of Gethsemane, brothers and sisters, at some point in our lives, if we are truly the sons and daughters of the living God. And I prayed that this particular burden, which I could never overcome, be both forgiven and to help me never do it again. It was an earnest prayer with tears. And I was able to get off the floor and feel the great burden of that problem lifted from my shoulders. And I knew that it would never afflict me again. And it hasn't. To the glory of God. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 shows that we have to identify with those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Abba, Father, by saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And when we seize that moment through the grace of God, then the Lord can pick us up from the floor and we will know in that moment how powerful prayer is to the glory and honour of our loving Heavenly Father.
I'm glad they showed some emotion. If I start crying, don't worry about it, just look at the floor. Brother Mark asked me to say a few words on anything I could think of that has to do with making prayer powerful. So the first thing I could think of is times in my life that I needed to pray and seek comfort and hope from God. There's a verse that I will base my little personal testimony on from the Apostle Paul, and it reads 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasures and infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then am I strong. The times of my life when I was the weakest, but eventually the strongest from my trials, was the death of my mother due to a cancerous brain tumor when I was a freshman in high school. And a time in my life where I spent 3 years in state prison for a girl who made all sorts of crazy accusations about me when I was a teenager. And to make a long and dramatic story short, it ended up separating me physically from my family and all my loved ones for 3 years. And there were 3 long, depressing years. Concerning the death of my beloved mother and our sister in the truth, it took years to be able to move on and say, I'll be okay. When we are in our weakest moments, I know for myself, and it seems like for everyone else, that's when I lay it all out there to God in prayer through our Savior Jesus Christ. Not that it should only be then, but that's when it happened. But when certain situations arise in our lives that bring deep sadness, hurt, and true sincere pain, that's when we tend to be the most dependent on our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father of us all. Without this event happening in my life, maybe I wouldn't have looked to the truth so early on in my life. But through the truth, I've learned peace and comfort. And anyone who has strayed from this path that has these promises, I would urge you today to get back on it. You are one deep, heartfelt prayer away from God to have this peace, comfort, and hope. Because to me, my life is living proof that God answers prayers. Not just mine, but the prayers of the ecclesias on Sundays at meeting, and all the prayers of us individually when we pray alone. Every single prayer said, when we mention our brothers and sisters in the world who couldn't be here today, God hears every single prayer said, whether we know we are part of that prayer or not. And brothers and sisters, that alone is very powerful. Concerning my mom, at any time, praying for that soon coming kingdom will be the answer when it arrives of that pain I want to go away. And it has got easier as time goes on, and this applies to all of us who have lost a loved one. We see the signs and times around us today, very, very powerful. Just watch the news and see what's going on in the Middle East. It's getting dangerous over there, but we know we have a comfort. And that is a powerful sign to me that God says, I am here, it will happen, just be patient. You know that the plan I promised is coming shortly. Moving on, being placed into a state penitentiary at an early stage in my life was depressing, lonely, scared, confusing. I often asked myself, why did God allow this to happen to me? That's what I often thought, and when realizing self-pity wouldn't do much, and actually would only make the burden worse, I think, well, look what happened to Christ, and he was perfect. So who am I to complain? Many of you know I was the inmate with the most mail, the most visitors, and that's not tooting my own horn here. But I believe that was God's way of providing me comfort and answering my prayers, and honestly, the thousands of prayers you all offered on my behalf. Eventually, as our ecclesia will know, Wednesday nights, I started becoming a part of Bible class from jail. And even on Sunday mornings, I got to break bread. We'd have a little schedule set up, and it all worked out. Eventually, as the years went by, it was getting easier and easier. That's prayer being powerful. And me, on the receiving end, have never felt so blessed still to this very day. I remember it like it was yesterday. I look at the day I went into prison and feeling like a lost little boy, and now I'm a better man because of what God has allowed me to suffer through. Again, when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said it perfectly. I now understand who my true friends are. I understand why God gives us trials. And if it weren't for life's heart-wrenching moments, I wouldn't feel so close to Christ and our Father and Creator. When Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, well, it's kind of hard to think you're going to take pleasure in stuff like that when your heart's in a lot of pain. And you read that verse and it almost sounds sarcastic that I should feel pretty good about this. But you take a step back afterwards and realize the pros and cons of the situation. It's a little easier to say I take pleasure in the fact that those obstacles have been placed in my path, Zionward. And if all these situations that have happened to me, with all the prayers said for me and all of us, if it helps us to be found worthy on that day of judgment, then we can say this present suffering was worth it. And all the prayers offered were very powerful. After 5 to 10 years or so of these trials I've mentioned passing, I have a much greater appreciation for the truth. It sustained me. My brothers and sisters in the truth from all ecclesias who wrote to me and came to visit me, and especially everyday life in general. So I'll leave you with 3 key points on prayer and why I think it's powerful. Number 1, don't expect instant answers. Mark already brought this up. Don't expect instant answers to prayers. God doesn't work that way. Sometimes there are lessons to be learned over time. Don't forget to pray. Number 2, don't forget to pray for other people. It's not always you suffering. There are other people suffering. And number 3, just don't underestimate the true power of prayer. Thanks.
As Brother Dan mentioned, that prayer is private, and it is very powerful. I'd like to thank all the brothers for sharing their personal experiences with each and every one of us here today. I encourage all of you to share your experiences with others, especially this weekend. It is a comfort to know that we can help each other through the most difficult of times. By having one goal and the scriptures as our instruction manual of life, eternal life, we are able to communicate to our Heavenly Father through prayer. As we recall the message in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, most all of us are very familiar with this. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When we pray, we also have to remember to give thanks. I'll conclude with some words of Brother Grocott. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." In everything, good and bad. It takes faith and understanding to give thanks for trouble and suffering. But Paul could do it. He had enough spiritual understanding to see the reason and the purpose and necessity for trouble. We have got to learn this too, if we want to be any eternal use to God. It is the most important. Cheerful thanksgiving based on an intense appreciation of God's infinite beauty and goodness must be our basic frame of mind always. If we have not got this, we are dead. We are cold, walking carcasses, mere creatures of flesh like the dead world around us. Thanksgiving is a beautiful frame of mind, healthy, wholesome, inspiring to others. It leads to all other beauties of mind. It drives away all contrary characteristics, self-pity, envy, dissatisfaction, and criticism of others. True, humble thankfulness to God for His infinite patience and goodness makes us want to help others, not to criticize and condemn. God's children are guaranteed perfect peace of mind if they do their simple little part. If we do not have the perfect peace of mind that God promises all His children and that only He can give, then wisdom cries that we should apply ourselves to it while it is yet called today. We should make it our most urgent matter of attention. We must look in the right place for the trouble, the reason that we lack peace. We must look within our own fleshly hearts and minds, within our own weakness of faith and love. No one outside of us can make us happy or unhappy. Happiness or unhappiness is from within. It is so easy to criticize and blame others because we lack peace of mind. It is so easy to shift the blame from ourselves to our external circumstances. As natural creatures, we are no use to God. He pities us but cannot use us eternally. There must be great changes made in our minds and our characters. He has given us the tools. He has furnished us the power. He tells us how. All we have to do is follow the instructions and use the tools. Faith, the power that moves mountains and overcomes the world, that turns sorrow to joy and frustration to peace, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our baptism is just the beginning, the very barest, most elemental beginning. The preparing process takes the whole life, all our strength, all our interest and attention. Any position of usefulness and responsibility takes learning and practice, and this is the highest position in the universe. It is not easy. No real learning is easy. Look at the effort the people of the world will put into passing worldly things. They do it because their heart is there. Look at the effort and time Christadelphians are willing to put into things they want and are interested in. Yet so many seem to assume that they will just coast automatically into eternal life without any real effort and application at all. Effort is the secret, and love is the power. Remember to give thanks. Let us put this down on our daily schedule as number one at all times. We cannot be unhappy when we are giving thanks. We cannot be sorry for ourselves. We cannot be angry at or unkind to others.